I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Spider Knight?
Alas, friend Spider-Man, by what sorcery doth small ceiling torch shine forth?
It's called a light bulb.
Welcome to Prattle World. I'm your host, the ever amazing, ever spectacular Spider-Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. Welcome, guys, and this is another edition of Spider Knights of the Round Table, where we have roundtable discussions about certain subjects. And this time, we're going to talk about the King of Monsters himself, Godzilla! If you don't know much about Godzilla, my friend Curtis Hadley, welcome.
Hi, guys. Great to be here.
You're going to tell us a lot about Godzilla, all the interesting things that we could possibly find out about the God of Lizards. Is that where the name comes from?
Godzilla is the combination of two Japanese words, gorilla and whale.
Wow. Okay. And he looks like neither.
Yeah.
So, okay. Fair enough. So, yeah, we're just going to talk because obviously King of the Monsters is about to be released. And I've got you on because you are the Godzilla. You are the God of Godzilla, as far as I know.
I like that title.
God of Godzilla. So we're going to have you. We're just going to chat generally just about the history of the character, where he's come from and where he's going in the future as well.
Yeah.
But before we get into all that, before we get into the talk of kaiju and various other large moths and various other large monsters, I'd just like to ask you, how do we know each other?
Me and you got involved in a filming project, which will go unnamed, about 2-3 years ago now?
Yeah, something like that. I'm thinking 2015, I think, at least, or 2016.
Yeah.
I think it's 2015, actually. Yeah.
Really? Bloody hell.
I think it was February of 2015 I got properly involved in. I think it was summer.
I feel old. I'm sad now. Can we stop?
Summer of 2014, I signed up to do it. And then February of 2015, we started actually doing it.
Me and Dan got on great then, went to a few conventions together, mm-hmm. Remained friends since then, got a lot in common.
Yeah, we do. I mean, you're an actor, you're into your comic books, you're into movies, much like I am. Mm. Yeah, it's great.
I am way more, you know, Dan's the comic book guy. I'm more the movie guy.
I mean, I would definitely argue that. I mean, you're a big The Thing, John Carpenter, Jurassic Park. You're into
going back,
Alien,
like Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi,
all the classic monsters.
Yeah.
So what is it about? What is it about monsters that you kind of gravitate towards?
They remind me of my dad.
Oh God, this got very deep all of a sudden.
I was always interested in sci-fi from a young age, but for some reason, I never, much like Star Wars or Star Trek, those would always come later in life.
Yeah,
I was a big dinosaur fan as a kid. Cool. You know, all kids go through dinosaur phases.
Yeah, definitely.
I never left mine. and it wasn't really that big of a leap from things like dinosaurs to things like, say, Godzilla, or even just like aliens to... Hmm.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, to some degree, I've always had a interest in that. Oh, I was brought up on the old Toho Godzilla films and... Yeah.
I guess it is the kind of... Kids do have a kind of fascination with these kind of... I mean, they were the king of the monsters of their day, weren't they? You know, they were the king of the beasts. They were I mean, Tyrannosaurus Rex literally means like king, like tyrannical king, yeah. Doesn't it? Or something like that. I'm probably butchering the translation, but it roughly means that.
Tyrant King Lizard.
Tyrant King Lizard, there you go. Tyrant King Lizard.
They were the biggest creatures. You know, if kaiju were real... Yeah. Yeah. They would be dinosaurs.
Exactly. There you go. So is a question. Is Godzilla a dinosaur?
On the Heisei era, yeah. There's been a lots of different retellings of Godzilla's origin. The one from around the 80s was that he was a surviving dinosaur called, creatively, the Godzillasaurus, which was then...
That's a hell of a mouthful.
Tell you what, though, they've actually named the creature the Godzillasaurus. So it's actually like somehow real, self
weird. So it's kind of gone full loop. So they've named an actual dinosaur
off
after Godzilla.
And Godzilla was named supposedly after a dinosaur which didn't exist.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And yeah, one of Godzilla's origins was that he was a surviving dinosaur that was mutated by radiation in World War II.
Wow. So that was the kind of Hiroshima. That kind of leads us on very nicely to the first Godzilla film. So was it 1954?
Yeah.
So as far as I'm aware, Godzilla is kind of a, I don't know, a metaphor, an allegory, whichever the one is the best suited, for Hiroshima, for Nagasaki, for the kind of the radiation and the atomic bombs that
dropped. That's entirely the reason why the film existed, because there was actually a media blackout over the attacks. They didn't want any footage of it getting out. It wasn't, I mean, there'd be news reports, but outside from that, they didn't want anything getting out.
So that was Japan themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't want to show any weakness or any kind of frailty.
Integrity, yeah.
Yeah. Because they were, I mean, they're a very honourable people, and they, you know, they respect
salvation
themselves.
Through silence. Yes, yeah. Their solution to it.
Yeah, fair play.
But filmmakers, as they always do, got around that. And
yeah.
Oof, 2, 3, maybe 4 years later, they came out with Godzilla,
yeah.
Which they just replaced the atom bomb with a creature called Godzilla, which was supposedly awakened by the nuclear radiation. Yeah. It's not the nuclear radiation.
No.
But it's an effect of the nuclear radiation.
But it's kind of the kind of the destruction he causes,
yeah.
And the devastation he causes.
Well, they actually even used footage of the destruction caused by Nagasaki and Hiroshima in the film and said that it was destruction caused by Godzilla.
Wow, really?
So, yeah, the whole film just came out as... I mean, obviously, it's a lot more than that now.
Yeah, of course.
It was originally just started as...
Well, that's quite interesting because... is it Gareth Edwards directed the reboot?
Yes, 2014.
So his movie Monsters, when he was filming, it was kind of like a kind of an indie film. And what he did is he used the kind of the landscape of kind of, I think it was kind of Mexico,
kind of
areas in the kind of South American border that are just absolutely just barren, devastated wasteland, and because of the wars and everything, and the lack of money, that they can't rebuild anything. He used that and said that the monsters did it.
Yeah,
the monsters in the film did it. So that's quite...
And I'll tell you what, interesting. If you watch Gareth Edwards' 2014 Godzilla, you can kind of see that it's done in the same spirit of the original, because 2014, we were actually a lot more focused on climate change than we currently are.
Yeah.
You know, we're not... It was only like... How many years ago was that? The tsunami in Japan?
You mean Thailand? Thailand, was it?
Yes,
Thailand?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God, like 10 years ago at least.
A lot of what happens in Gareth Edwards' film is environmental based. You know, when Godzilla turns up in Hawaii,
yeah.
He causes a tidal wave, which then destroys everything. You
of
know,
course, yeah.
You
yeah.
look at the scene towards the start of the film with the entire abandoned city that's it's been overtaken by nature. So much of that film, actually, it tries to address today's issues in the same way that the original tried to address much more significant issues
of course,
radiation.
Yeah.
And this was, again, done in Shin Godzilla, but we'll get into Shin Godzilla
I'm sure we will. But I think that's kind of the best kind of science fiction movies that kind of...
The one that have echoes of real life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're trying to tell us something through the kind of framework, through the kind of lens of science fiction.
What is Aliens if not a film of a mum fighting for their children?
Exactly, yeah. And
on both sides, you know, Xenomorphs and Alien.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, Aliens is the absolute kind of feminist dream and feminist nightmare, I guess, almost. Like, that's the kind of, like, you can...
Represented as that, though, is it? Take note, Ghostbusters.
Oh, he's got opinions. He's got so many opinions. I'm sure we'll get into that as well. I think you just used the original kind of translation. What is it? Is it how do you pronounce it?
Godzilla. It's literally... The English translations of the kaiju monsters are god-awful because they literally just do the English spelling of how it's said. So Mothra in Japan is pronounced Mosra. It's Mosra. What does Mosra sound like? It sounds like Mothra. Yeah.
Yeah,
and Godzilla, it just sounds like Godzilla.
Godzilla.
There's a few conflicting stories on how the name Godzilla came about.
Hmm.
The two main ones are that it was the combination, and it is the combination between a gorilla and a whale,
yeah.
Which, at a stretch, you know, if you pumped up a gorilla, gave it like the texture of a whale.
Yeah.
Not dissimilar.
Well, I guess,
kind of.
I mean, we did have King Kong prior, didn't we? We did have, you know, from the US, we had King Kong. Was it 1930?
I'll tell you what, Ray Harryhausen.
What a ledge.
Hated the Godzilla films.
Really?
Because they nearly put them out of business, didn't they?
Did they? Tell me more. I didn't know this.
Yeah. Ray Harryhausen and Willis O'Brien. I was about to forget who did King
Kong.
It's
all right. Fair enough.
They hated the Toehold Company with a passion because it was a very realistic thing that could put them out of business. You know, they'd spend days, upon years sometimes, crafting, you know, stop motion monsters, making them move slightly for every picture.
Yeah.
Or you could just build a suit and have a guy, you know, you could film in a day what would take them months to film.
My God, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, so, because with, it, again, stop motion animation before, like, if people don't know this, before the, you know, the days of CG, you would literally take a photo, move the thing, a photo, move the thing, a photo, move the thing. And literally it can take days to just film someone grabbing for a bottle or something like that. You could take a full, you know, 24-hour period just to film that one small moment in that film. Like Wallace and Gromit is a good example of stop motion and Nightmare Before Christmas, all those kind of things. You know, it's insane the amount of detail and productivity. Like you said, like they can literally churn out a monster movie like that because they're just guys in suits. You know, the guys in suits.
That's it. Ray Harryhausen hated Godzilla in the same way that actually a lot of special effects artists hated Jurassic Park because it's like, well, we're out of a job.
Yeah.
You know,
so kind Jurassic of the Park Rick views... the Rick Baker, Tom Savini's of the world. Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Well, that's it. The line in Jurassic Park where the paleontologists are saying, I think we're out of a job now. And Ian Malcolm leans over and says, don't you mean extinct? Is a direct quote from it was either Tom Savini.
Yeah, one of the main guys.
Rewriting of that line where it's like, well, we're out of a job.
Yeah.
And that was the same of what Godzilla did over in the West.
So even Rick Baker went on to kind of, he does Walking Dead now and he combines the practical with the CG.
All is forgiven now, but back in the day,
it was kind of like, but like, practical effects will always be better. Like, for me, they cost...
Well, we'll talk more about that when we're on Shin Godzilla.
Okay.
But in 99.9% of scenarios, I do agree with you.
Yes. So that was kind of... So Godzilla kind of came out of those kind of... So we had monster movies before.
Yeah.
We had monster movie. We had, you know...
King Kong came out nearly 20 years prior.
Yeah. We've had... I think The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms was...
Most of Harryhausen's came out.
Yeah. I think beforehand. That was him as well.
Yeah.
He kind of set the stage for the kind of kaiju stuff. But how did Godzilla cement... Like, why is he the king of the monsters? Why do we remember Godzilla over all the other giant monster movies prior to that?
It's probably because he's got, like, a film library that would rival James Bond. I'll chalk it up to a lot of the impact that the original film had. This film was not tongue-in-cheek. Honestly, if you watch it now, I mean, after you get past the initial, I'm looking at a guy in a rubber suit, after you get over that, it's a surprisingly dark movie. Like,
there's two versions, isn't there?
Yeah, there's Godzilla and Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Okay.
Not to be confused with...
With the new one.
Yes.
Like Halloween and Halloween and Halloween.
There were two versions of the film. The original Godzilla was only done in Japanese, obviously. It was a very, very grounded, depressing story.
It's grim. It's very grim.
Yeah, like, one scene in it literally made me cry my first viewing. It was Godzilla destroying a city, obviously.
Yeah. Standard.
And there's a woman cradling her little girl saying, don't worry, we're going to be with daddy soon. And then they die. Like, you don't... Why is a film of a guy in a rubber suit making me feel this?
Yeah, and like it's to be fair to the original kind of Godzilla suit, it's not great. Like, and I think the subsequent ones kind of make him more very toad like. He looks kind of like a toad. He's got the big mouth.
It looks like the Cookie Monster.
Yeah, look,
in some of the later ones. Yeah, we do call some of the later ones the Cookie Monster suit. And then when it came over to America, it was. It kind of had a Philosopher's Stone, Sorcerer's Stone redoing of it. They didn't think that just redubbing it would be enough. They didn't think that the American public would accept things with predominantly Asian casts, so they refilmed scenes and introduced a character called Steve Martin, which was played by Raymond Burr.
Of Ironside fame.
Mm.
Or Percy Mason. Percy Mason?
It was Percy Mason, yeah. They introduced him into the film. And I'll tell you what, you can't see the cut.
No?
Like, when I originally watched it, Kingdom Monsters was what I watched before I watched Godzilla. Mm. And I could not see the cut where, you
between
know...
Between the two.
Yeah, they'd have, like, the Japanese actresses, but from behind. You know, not the actual... Yeah, yeah. This was filmed, like, years later.
Of course, yeah.
But surprisingly, the best effect in that film, you can't tell that they just added in this random character. And his character in it, he plays a reporter from the West who is reporting back everything that's happening.
To the US.
As another means to kind of dumb down the plot. It's literally what a scene would be, just Godzilla destroying a city. Yeah. Now it's Godzilla destroying a city with Raymond Burr going, Godzilla is approaching.
Yeah.
Godzilla is slowing down.
There's also, because the first kind of reboot of Godzilla, if you will, was it Godzilla 1984, 85?
Yeah. Godzilla 1984.
They actually had that character return, didn't they?
Yeah. It's like levels of fan service that you would only usually see today.
Yeah.
When they did The Return of Godzilla, which was... Godzilla very quickly became child-friendly in his sequels. We'll get into them later.
Yeah.
But around the 80s, they said, right, we're not going to sack all of them. They're not canon anymore. We're going to start again. We're going to go off the original design. We're going to have another dark and depressing story. Came out. Wasn't majorly successful. But the attachment of it being The Return of Godzilla made it go over to the UK. The UK and the US. And yeah, they had Raymond Burr come back, reprise his role of Steve Martin. Though at this point, the actor Steve Martin was quite popular. So they only actually refer to him in the film as Dr. Martin.
Right. Yeah, that would probably be better, yeah.
Yeah. And I will say, in both the English versions of King of the Monsters and Return of Godzilla, you kind of lose some of what made the film as grim and depressing. I mean, there's fucking, like, Pepsi adverts in... No, it's not Pepsi.
No.
In Return of the Monsters...
Return of Godzilla.
In Return of Godzilla, in the American scenes that they add in, it's fucking covered in product placement. The Americans are like cracking jokes over it.
Yeah.
Both versions take away a lot of the somber tone of the original films. But by all means, they're still good.
Yeah.
If you want to watch them just because you don't fancy reading the subtitles of the Japanese, still completely valid viewing.
Raymond Burr is a fantastic actor, fantastic
and
talent.
He is actually the best part of Return of Godzilla.
Yeah. I guess, in a way, I guess they probably wanted to soften... I mean, end of the day, the US bombed Nagasaki, Hiroshima.
Yeah.
You can't really get away from that. Yeah. And there's a possibility the US didn't want to be reminded
of
what they did.
In Return of Godzilla, they try and introduce this purely from the American... redoing.
Yeah.
They try and introduce this plot to do with the Cold War. Okay. Mind, I haven't seen it.
Very 80s. Very
80s. I haven't seen the film in a few years, but it's something to do with, like, the Russians are now responsible for Godzilla instead of the Americans. And I mean, I haven't seen the film in a few years. I know the Russians, they try and put the blame on the Russians somewhere in the film.
Well, I mean, and like we were saying earlier, that you know, a good sci-fi film, you know, has a lot of political things to say.
Mm.
I mean, there's a lot of people nowadays that are like, oh, keep my politics out of my movies, take my politics out of my comics.
It's always been it to some degree.
Yeah, I think politics is you know, it's always in media. You can't escape politics.
I mean, I'll take us off on a rant, then I'll bring us right back.
Sure,
a lot of people had a problem with the new Doctor Who being a woman.
Sure.
But realistically, Doctor Who was always a very, very left-wing show.
Oh, very.
It wasn't too out of character for it. I mean, personally, I don't really like Doctor Who. I prefer classic stuff.
Fair enough,
New stuff I'm not really that much of a fan of, but it's like, oh, well, this is ruining Doctor Who. Doctor Who was always like that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things are born through political.
Well, there's a lot of, I mean, if you look at especially the modern retelling, there's a lot of kind of LGBTQ stuff in there without it being explicitly so.
Yeah.
But there is representation there.
This was something quite nice I noticed a while ago. You know, aliens. You know, during the conference scene between Ripley and the board of governors, whatever they are. And behind them, there's flashes of the characters from Alien.
Yes.
They die.
Hmm.
Someone in the Blu-ray release of Aliens had been able to get those screen caps, like the original ones that
were,
and HD qualify them so we can actually see what they are. Dallas and Lambert were both transsexual.
Really?
Mm.
Wow, I didn't.
That might sound like something that we'd redo now, but realistically,
so that,
like,
that was the original
in Aliens. If you could see the blurred lines there, you would see that Lambert was born as male and transitioned.
Wow,
That's
crazy. I didn't know.
Yeah, out of nowhere. I mean, as we said earlier, Aliens is realistically quite a feminist movie, but because it doesn't really advertise itself as that, it doesn't get the bad stigma that a lot of feminist projects often do.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I think it's almost, in some ways, like we're saying, like there's these, I like to call them bro flakes.
Mm.
Because they're kind of, there's these guys that are kind of really angry about you know LGBT community getting represented, women getting represented, or you're just doing this for likes, you're doing this for, and all this sort of stuff. I'm like, well, no, we do need this. We need.
I'll definitely agree that there's an extent where advertisements, when companies will do it as an advertisement as opposed to what. But again, that's just...
It becomes kind of tokenism. We don't want it because of
you
tokenism.
You can argue that extremism is the enemy in any...
Yes.
You know, religion, politics, anything. You know, but around like the middle bit, that's where you're going to find...
Yeah, you want to find the middle. It's the same with anything. It's the same with anything. You want the moderation, you want the middle ground.
Yeah.
You know, either way, if there's not enough representation, you're angry. If there's...
What are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. We got off... You took us on a weird, random rant. You said you'd bring us back. You didn't bring us back. I'll bring us back. Where are we
talking
about?
Black Lives Matter, Dan.
I know they do. I agree. Anyway, we were talking about... So earlier you mentioned that there was various different kind of stages or kind of eras of Godzilla. Can you explain that to the people who don't really know about that?
There's the three main eras of continuity with Godzilla. Depending on what you count as Godzilla, it's more like five or six. But the main three ones is the Showa era, named after the Showa. For context, in Japan, they name their different political eras based off of who is the emperor. It was the Showa era, the Heisei era. Around the time that the third one, the Millennium era, came out, they were still in the Heisei era. So they named it Millennium because it was around the same time that the 2000s were happening.
Okay. Yeah.
And now we're in the...
I was going to say, I don't think there was a Chinese emperor or a Japanese emperor called Millennium.
Yeah. They just named it that because it was technically... I mean, if you're going to be pedantic about it, technically Return of Godzilla took place in the Showa era, even though that's marked as the start of the Heisei era.
Fair enough, yeah.
And yeah, we've just months ago now gone into the latest one, the Reiwa era.
Wow. Which
would be just Shin Godzilla, if you count the more recent film.
The American ones
as legendary. The main series of Godzilla starts with the original Godzilla. And the thing is, that is an award-winning film, but rather unfortunately, to some degree, it appealed a lot to kids who liked giant monsters. And so when they started doing sequels to that, very, very quickly, it stopped being Sonbin Tome. It was kid-friendly. Right. By the, like, fifth or sixth film, Godzilla was, like, flying and dancing and...
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Some very silly kind of moment. The one I watched, Ghidorah, the three-headed monster, recently.
Mm. Oh, that's one of the more serious ones of the...
And you say that, and then they're all... So Mothra, Godzilla, and Rodan are all speaking to each other.
Oh, Godzilla, what terrible language!
Exactly that line. I was like, oh my God. It was such a bizarre... Like, I guess they have to communicate, but it was just very much...
There's at some point...
Some very silly kind of moments and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, and the film opened with, we need to talk to the sorcerer people. We need to speak to these sorcerer people. And I'm like, well, okay, who are the fucking sorcerer people?
Yeah.
When did this come about?
That's it. As the film start off, it first started with... The first sequel to Godzilla was Godzilla Raids Again. It was the only other Godzilla film to be in black and white. It introduced Anguirus, who has become one of the staple Godzilla monsters. He's just dropped below the main five. They're a term called the main five, which is Godzilla, Mothra, Rodan, Ghidorah, and Mechagodzilla.
Yeah, yeah.
If there was a sixth, it would probably be Anguirus.
Yeah, probably. It's interesting that they didn't use him. Like the other monsters, like the newest one is kind of like the greatest hits almost. It's got all the kind of the main other monsters from the original kind of era. Why do you think they didn't use Anguirus?
Well, it's because although he was one of the original monsters, he was by far not the one that had the biggest impact. It's because shortly after Godzilla Raids Again came out, they also came out with... Toho at this point has realized that there is a market for kaiju films. So they came out with other films, Mothra, and Rodan. Both of which are pretty decent films. I will admit that I cried at Rodan because it has an ending which is so much sadder than it has any right to be. Right, I'm not asked about spoilers.
Spoiler. Okay.
In Rodan, there's two Rodans, okay. A couple which end up mating, and towards the end of the film, one of them gets shot down. Like they nest in a volcano, yep. That's what lets them survive. One of them gets shot down and falls into the lava, right. And the other one has a choice between escaping or trying to help the first one. And so it tries to help the first one, but you know it's getting lava on it. It's being burned alive, and the narration goes, "Neither can live without the other, so they die together."
Oh God!
And I'm like, what the fuck?
Jesus, it's like an
I came here for kaiju, I'm fucking crying.
It's like an old married couple, like one of them dies and then the literally, other one just kind of goes with them. Oh God, that's pretty hardcore.
Both of those films were a success, and so very quickly they realised the potential instead of making original Godzilla monsters, they'd cross him over with other ones.
Fair enough, yeah. If the movies were successful. I mean, I guess it was the original Marvel Cinematic Universe of its day.
I'd argue there was one even before that with
really?
The Universal Monsters.
Of course, yes.
You know,
sorry,
Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi. But yeah, it was very much the MCU of its day.
Well, especially in Japan. Certainly in Japan, anyway. Mm.
But yeah, they ended up crossing them over with both Mothra and Rodan. But before they did that, there was a different, far more popular monster. Okay. From across the seas.
Ah.
And this was King Kong versus Godzilla.
Ah, of course.
Yeah. And you'll notice that King Kong has the first name in the title because at this point he was way more popular than Godzilla. King Kong and Son of Kong came out about 20, 30 years prior at this point. So they're very well established characters.
I don't know what it was, but there's something about like monkeys and apes and things that kind of, I don't know why, but it kind of seems to
just turns you
out. No, it's certainly not. Certainly not. I mean, I've got enough hair to be a monkey, an ape, or a gorilla, or what have you, but I'm certainly not attracted to that.
I would like to put a disclaimer. Dan is not attracted to monkeys.
That's not my thing. I'm definitely not into that, by the way.
Go on, I'm sorry.
No, generally, like in comics, like DC Comics went ape shit with that idea because apparently the comics would sell if it had an ape or a monkey on the front. So they're literally like every villain, like Gorilla Grodd and Titano, the super ape, and various other things. And again, in the cinemas, we kind of had this
Planet of the Apes and Godzilla, King Kong. Kong has got nowhere near to the same extent of cinema history, but he's got a decent. Yeah. I mean, when Godzilla versus Kong is coming out in cinemas soon,
exactly.
Bite me on. I'll give you a Kong retrospective.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll definitely do that.
Yeah, obviously, the original Kong is like, 20 foot tall? Godzilla could stomp on him. So they beefed up his size in a way similar to what they've done in Kong Skull Island recently.
Yeah.
They had to reboot that to make him a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, King Kong versus Godzilla came out. It's worth addressing because anyone that knows anything about Godzilla will be pissy with me if I don't address this.
Fair enough.
It was rumored for ages, so fucking long, that there was two alternate endings to Godzilla versus King Kong. King Kong versus Godzilla. It would be if you watched it in the West, King Kong would win. If you watched it in the East, Godzilla would win.
Ah.
It was bullshit.
Okay.
It wasn't real. The only difference is if you... the film ends with both of them falling into the ocean. Only King Kong comes up and starts to swim back to Mono Island.
Okay.
If you watch it in Japan, Godzilla's roar then plays over the credits.
Right.
If you don't watch it in Japan, if you watch it anywhere else, King Kong just swims off and he's fine.
Fair enough.
So I think that's kind of got exaggerated.
Reminds me a little bit of Avengers Endgame. If you go, there is no after the scenes credits.
Yeah.
But if you listen, you can hear there's a clanging of iron, like him making the first suit or somebody else making another suit. Who knows? We don't know until we see a future film. Yeah. But that's interesting. I like that. Godzilla tends to live in water, doesn't he? Rises up from.
The amount of crossover films that just have the two characters fall into water at the end. Frankenstein versus the Wolfman did it.
Yeah.
Freddy versus Jason did it.
Yeah.
And King Kong versus Godzilla. Because the thing is with doing crossovers like that is no one wants to see their favorite character lose.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember I watched Hulk versus Wolverine, which is like a short animated movie.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
Yeah.
But there's a moment where Wolverine has it over on the Hulk, and then all of a sudden he recovers, and then he has it over on him. So there's kind of, it's almost like you have two of the characters win, or you can go, right, that's my ending, or that's my ending. But then you obviously have all these villains come into it.
Realistically, the best way to do it is I'm honestly going to say the Batman versus Superman way, where you have a third party come in that they have to team up with.
Yeah.
Which, based on early set stuff that we're seeing for King Kong versus Godzilla, might end up being a Kong.
I've read that King Kong versus Godzilla, which is out, is it next year it's out? I've heard there's a definite winner.
Yes.
I've heard there's a definite winner.
However, I've also heard that the ending of King of the Monsters, a certain device is used.
Ah, okay.
Which would later set up one of Godzilla's most famous kaiju.
Really?
To be a villain in Godzilla.
Ah.
People who know what we're talking about will know what we're talking about.
Okay, all right.
Those that don't,
let's not,
it's some let's exciting.
Not spoil it. Let's not spoil it. But I'll tell you what, I really loved Skull Island. That was a great film.
I'll be honest. It's amazing. I thought it was good.
Oh, really?
I've rewatched it multiple times because I'm like, no, it's great.
It's good.
What am I missing out on? Yeah. And then I watch it and I'm like,
yeah. I literally went in with no expectations because I'm like, I like Kong. I like the idea of Kong. And the last one I saw was the Peter Jackson one. And I was just like, this is long and boring.
Yeah.
It was just, and
I did like that film, probably more than Skull Island, but I'll agree with you. It's way too long.
And I went on a date as well. And that is not a movie you take a date to. Jesus Christ.
Didn't you climb up the Manchester One building?
It wasn't a particularly great date, so I just wanted to leave, but the film just kept going.
Is this that one woman that you did like the Roy wrestling move on?
No. We were not gonna get into that.
that's ridiculous.
Well, I have to explain it now because you brought it up because it sounds weird if we don't talk about it. So there was a woman I went.
That's women.
No, not that either. So I was on a date with a lady and she asked me to give her a piggyback across the Manchester Piccadilly Gardens. It was winter. The grass was
and
wet.
And he was like, how dare you ask me to give you a piggyback? And he just slam dunked her into the ground.
Again, not true. Not true. So I gave her a piggyback and I was a bit, I'd had a few drinks and I ran across and I slipped in the mud. So obviously I don't know what it's called in wrestling, but it's kind of a wrestling
like
move.
You pick them up and like slam yourself out.
So you've got your arms under their legs and they're holding onto your back and you kind of like, almost, I guess it's a backdrop or something.
Yeah.
I guess that's what you would call it. But unfortunately, because I slipped in the mud, I gave her a backdrop and devastatingly hit the ground with all my weight on top of her. Like we were in the air.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we were just slipped. We were directly in the air and then boom. And then I had to get her a taxi home because she had a really bad back.
However, when Dan explained this story to us, we were picturing it as like a wrestling match.
I mean, that because I described the move as a wrestling move.
Yeah, it's the fact that you opened with the move.
I went, let me show you what I did. By mistake. I did see her another time, but then I think I offended her quite a bit and I didn't see her again, so it's fine.
Well, that's when you started doing karate on her, wasn't it?
Exactly. We just started straight up fighting that time.
Back to Godzilla.
We got on this weird tangent.
It came out from, there was Gojira, then it was Godzilla Raids Again, which introduced Anguirus, and then it was King Kong versus Godzilla, and then this is what's called the Showa era. I can only relate the Showa era to being like the Adam West Batman show. Like, they didn't care what they did so long as it was fun. It was very lighthearted and comedy.
Well, is it Godzuki or Godzilla Jr.?
It introduced Manila.
Manila, sorry.
Yeah. Godzuki is also a thing.
Sorry.
It introduced like Godzilla's son later in it who could talk and... Yeah, see, the first few of the Showa era are very important films because after King Kong versus Godzilla comes Godzilla versus Mothra, the first in-house crossover between Toho, and then as a sequel to King Kong versus to Godzilla versus Mothra, who, I'm just going to chuck it out there, Godzilla actually loses his first round against Mothra.
He
loses in that film.
And then,
at this point, he's still the villain.
Because it does Ghidorah, Ghidorah is the
sequel to Mothra.
Right.
And it's actually a really, it kind of sets it up as, right, okay, Godzilla's fought King Kong, he's fought Mothra, who's next? It's Rodan.
Yeah.
But oh wait, he's trying to go off and fight Rodan. Yeah, yeah. But Mothra from the last film senses that Ghidorah's coming.
Yeah.
She needs them all to work together to go defeat. Quite a nice setup for...
It's good. It's a good... And I wanted to watch Invasion of Monster Zero. Is that the next one?
That's the sequel to that one.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the exact same it takes Godzilla and Rodan, puts them against Ghidorah, but it's actually the only film to not take place on Earth.
Okay.
We lend Godzilla and Rodan to, where are they from? Venusians, I think, from Venus.
Sure.
We lend them over to their planet to fight Ghidorah, but plot twist. Sorry for spoiling this.
Go on. No, it's, it's only what, 40 years old? 30, 40 years
Ghidorah
old?
Ghidorah was under their control all along.
Yeah.
And now, because they also have Godzilla and Rodan, they now have... Strangely enough, Mothra wasn't in this, even though she was in the previous one. I guess budgets just ran out.
But it was still... Because it was... Wasn't it the baby of the previous Mothra?
Yeah, yeah. It was in Godzilla and Mothra. In Godzilla and Mothra, that Mothra lives, but then dies in Ghidorah, but she has two babies.
Ah, okay.
She has two babies. One of them... I've messed up my own thing. Okay. Mothra dies in Godzilla versus Mothra, but has two babies. One of those babies survives, and that baby is then in Ghidorah versus Ghidorah.
Three-headed monster, yeah.
After that, the films just kind of went off the rails a bit in terms of just craziness. Like, that's when they bring in Mechagodzilla, who is wearing, like, a Godzilla suit, is sent over by aliens. They have Megalon, who is the guardian of the Cetopians. They are unhappy with the way that the Earth is being polluted, so they send Megalon off to go fight Godzilla. He loses, but then it's okay because they can also ask help from the Space Hunter Nebula M aliens from a few films before,
of course,
to send over Gigan from Godzilla versus Gigan, and then it's Mothra and Gigan. But this has also got Jet Jaguar in it. Jet Jaguar was that was their only kind of reaching into like the Gundam Ultraman kind
of. It's very Ultraman, isn't it?
They introduced Jet Jaguar to be like an equivalent of him. He was only in the one film, but he has a great theme tune. I won't do a rendition of it, but by all means, please go
Jaguar theme. But again, that's kind of, that leads into like things like Pacific Rim, you know, giant robots versus giant monsters,
Even Guillermo del Toro, the director of Pacific Rim, said he was a huge Godzilla, Ultra, Neon Genesis fan.
Of course he is. It shows.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, these films are very, very goofy. You know, you can see, I mean, outright in one scene, you actually see Godzilla's tail fall off. You know, you can see the whys in so many of these films, but if you had not seen Godzilla fight Mothra, if you had not seen the introduction of Ghidorah, we wouldn't have any of the later 30-plus films that we mentioned.
You wouldn't have the one that's literally about to come out, which has all of them in,
That's it.
Mothra.
In spirit, this is almost like a remake of Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster, because it was the first time that all four of those monsters like met together.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I watched that, was because I knew it was the original kind of
And
meeting.
Honestly, in like my... If I was going to give like a top five recommendations of Godzilla films to watch...
Let's do it right now. Top five Godzilla to watch for the upcoming movie. Is that what you
mean? Okay.
Or do you want...
You're going to go into watching it.
Yeah, so...
Do you want me to give it now? Or do you want me to give it after I've explained?
Oh yeah, we're still on the
series.
Yeah, no. So you've talked about the show era.
Yeah, the show era.
So it got a little bit more sillier as it went on.
Yeah, honestly, a lot of those films kind of blur together. It's more just like a massive.
What was that? The end of that, was that Destroy All Monsters? Was that the end of the show era?
That was originally meant to be the ending. And frankly, it just goes fucking downhill from there. But Destroy Monsters was meant to be the last one. That's when they brought in... This is what I said. It was like the original cinematic universe. They brought in monsters from Frankenstein Conquers the Earth. They brought in monsters from The Mysterians.
Yeah.
If they had the monster suit, it's in this film. But that being said, and this is worth saying for a lot of Showa films, is there's not actually a lot of monster action. You know, you think all these old goofy films, you think, oh yeah, I'll go watch it. It'll be Godzilla jumping around
for an hour.
It's not. You see him for like 10 minutes in the film. Other than that, it's mostly story driven. And the stories are like, oh no, there's this kid's being bullied in school. But it's okay because Godzilla Jr. is also being bullied. We're going to show the two... we're going to show the parallels between him being bullied in school to Gabara bullying Godzilla Jr. Those films, I personally quite like them in the same way that my favourite era of Doctor Who is the earlier
classic
stuff.
Era.
I have I don't know what it is. I just like how charming the low budget stuff is earlier on.
I'm always a fan of older comics and older movies, older TV. Yeah. I'd always go older than newer. Always.
Yeah, they were going to end it on Destroyer Monsters. They ended up coming out with a few more. That's when he introduced Bloody Godzilla's son. And they ended up ending it on the Mechagodzilla duology. Who is, it's quite right that the last member of the big three was the last ones of the Showa era. Yeah, Terror of Mechagodzilla and Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. Wow. And then after they came out, they were like, right, we're going to retire Godzilla for a bit.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, they decided they were going to bring him back, but they didn't like the tone they'd been taking with the recent Godzilla films. So they said, right, sack everything that happened between the first one and this.
Yeah.
This is a sequel to the original Godzilla.
Yeah.
And that's where what we mentioned earlier, Return of Godzilla.
Return of Godzilla, or Godzilla 1984-85, however it's known.
In Japan, it was Return of Godzilla. In the Americas, it was Godzilla 1984.
Yeah.
And that was done as a spiritual and continuity sequel to just that.
It's kind of a requel, if you will. It's a reboot, a sequel at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very much in line with like Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Yeah, it's a reset.
You know, all the reboots that
it's Batman Begins, isn't it?
Yeah. You'll find that a lot of long going series have this kind of continuity reboot. Eventually.
Halloween as well. The most recent Halloween just said, forget all the other sequels.
Yeah.
You know, the Neil Blomkamp Alien that was going to be made, that wasn't, unfortunately, was going to ignore all the other sequels after Aliens. Mm. So it makes sense because it kind of...
Not against it because, honestly, I think trying to keep in the confines of sequel lore can actually put quite a damper on
the creativity. The creativity. And that's why they do it in comics and why they do it in films, because end of the day, kind of frees you up. You go, right, that was good. All I need to know about is that film. I don't need to worry about all the other sequels and where they fit in, or, you know, what's happened and everything like that. I think in a way it purifies stuff. You just go, right, what is the thing that makes Godzilla? They go, right, let's go back to the original.
You know, it provides such a good jumping on point for new fans, because, you know, if everything I've just described to you don't like the sound of, like, if you don't want Godzilla to be all happy, fun and kid friendly, okay, watch the first one.
Yeah.
Skip everything in between and just go straight to Return of Godzilla. Yeah, and that kicks off the Heisei era, and the Heisei era took place in the 80s, and you can tell. Yeah, they kind of tried to make Godzilla... In this one, Godzilla is a villain. In pretty much all of his films, he is the villain of them. It's done with much better effects. You know, they incorporate a lot more animatronics rather than just a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
And over the course of these films, they do actually end up doing... I mean, the film series is Return of Godzilla and then Godzilla versus Biollante, which was actually it was a competition. It was you write a script for a Godzilla film. If it wins, we'll make it. You try and fucking wait for Disney to do that. You know?
I'm gonna write in my my Aladdin Beauty and the Beast crossover. That's what I'm gonna send.
And then Biollante came out. It was
that's the kind of plant. Created
from Godzilla DNA, so you could argue it's like Godzilla's sister. It is also one of the only female kaiju. A lot of them are like they don't have a gender. No, this one kind of, is actually female.
Well, I mean, even in the, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but the US remake, it was kind of
In that one, it was asexual but born pregnant.
That's right.
Godzilla versus Biollante, and as is like a recurring thing with later of these, is they do try to keep it serious, but emphasis on the try.
Yeah,
it goes from Godzilla versus Biollante to the sequel, Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. This is the one that I was saying earlier, where they redo Godzilla's origin story.
Okay,
in the original Showa era, you don't really know where he's come from. They don't focus on it. In this one, Godzilla versus Ghidorah has a lot of time travel elements in it. In this one, he is a Godzillasaurus mutated by radioactivity. And then in the future, where the world has been destroyed by Godzilla, the Futurians, come back in time to modern day and say, Godzilla is going to destroy the planet eventually, but we know what caused him. Come with us. We're going to go back to the 1950s and we're going to take the Godzillasaurus off of this island. Mm. But when they do that, they leave behind three little Gorants.
Oh.
Which looks suspiciously very yellow and scaly with little wings.
Ah.
And then the accident that caused Godzilla ends up creating King Ghidorah. And now the humans are in a pickle.
Yes.
A pickle being a light term for it, because now Godzilla doesn't exist and King Ghidorah is a thing, but
wow.
Then just a second Godzilla comes out of nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah, they're very. It's very broad on if the term Godzilla means a individual or if it means a like.
Oh, so it's like a plural. Like a plural.
Yeah. The most Godzillas we've seen at the same time is two, and that's usually out in Son of Godzilla. Yeah. In the Heisei era, they do actually bring back Godzilla's son in the Godzilla vs. Destroyer. Again, though, it's never really said if he, like, if it's an actual.
Does he give a birth or?
Yeah.
You know.
So yeah, you can tell. Like, obviously, with the time travel elements, it's a bit more spectacular.
Yeah,
but
it's a little bit still, more over the top.
But they do keep it, they try and keep it
grounded.
Edgy. Yeah, yeah. They fair do enough. That for Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, Godzilla versus Mothra, which introduces Mothra into this new continuity and her evil twin Batra. And then, oof, who comes after that? Is that Godzilla versus Space Godzilla? That's not Space Godzilla.
Might be. I don't know.
Space Godzilla.
I'm going to say Space Godzilla. Space Godzilla.
No, it might.
We're running out of ideas, guys. What do we do now?
It's Godzilla, but he's from space.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's an amazing idea. Did another fan write that one?
No, actually. Yeah, that film, the Heisei ones, carry on for a good, like, five or six films. Pretty decent ones. I personally, not much of a fan of these, just because the Showa ones are so much more fun, whereas these are much more action-orientated films.
Kind of 80s, 90s style.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then this film ends with the what was originally intended to be the definitive ending to the Godzilla films, with Godzilla versus Destroyer.
Destroyer!
Yeah. This is literally, if you look at the way it's spelled, like R-A-Y-A-H.
I think I read...
they can't copyright Destroyer.
That's what I read. They couldn't copyright the word Destroyer, so they're like, fine, we'll spell it a bit differently.
Yeah, Godzilla vs. Destroyer is one of the best ones of the series. I've heard some people say it's better than Gojira.
Really?
I will say fuck them to those people, but I will say it's... well up there.
That is one, in fact, that I have watched purely because I knew, spoilers, Godzilla dies.
Yeah. It was advertised as this is the film where Godzilla dies. It made it onto UK television.
Wow.
During the 80s that Godzilla was finally going to die. And
wow.
Yeah, the way they tie it back really nicely to the start, where in the original film, Dr. Shirazawa comes up with a weapon called the Oxygen Destroyer, which... I don't fucking know how it works. It's basically the only way to kill Godzilla, but he recognizes that this is a weapon more powerful than an atomic bomb. Yeah, so when they know Godzilla's under the ocean.
Again, very good allegory or metaphor.
Yeah, they know Godzilla's under the ocean, so they send Shirazawa down with it, and he activates it and kills himself with the bomb. However, they now come back to that in Godzilla vs. Destroyer and say that that micro-oxygen that they created from that has now spawned Destroyer.
Right.
Which, over the course of the film, kind of in like a H.R. Giger's Alien, like it transforms over the course of the film from single-celled organisms to a devilish kaiju.
Yeah. Well, it's basically like Satan.
Destroyer, he is... bad. Yeah.
It's a good design, man. Like, I really
one shot where he's like, he's in his final form, but you can't see him. You can just see the silhouette of him in the smoke, and then lightning strikes behind him.
Because it starts off with kind of, there's a scene where all the soldiers go in, much like Aliens, the soldiers go in and they're like, what's going on? And they get picked off one by one by one, kind of one part of him.
Yeah.
And then he combines.
Yeah, the aggregate forms, which then combine to make the perfect form.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, it's kind of like a Godzilla with horns and wings and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he is,
and he's
the devil,
terrifying. And So Godzilla already in this film is dying.
He's going through a meltdown because part of this continuity, and maybe the new film's continuity,
based on
some trailers.
Maybe.
He is going through, his heart basically functions as a nuclear reactor, and he's kind of outlived to the point now where that's in meltdown. So it's a really intense film. Godzilla, he's like, if he goes into nuclear meltdown, it will be an atomic blast, like the heat could literally destroy the planet.
Yeah.
It's like 10,000 times worth of Chernobyl and Nagasaki. While at the same time, Destroyer's happening, who is like the most powerful fucking thing that you've seen on the planet. Mm. Godzilla eventually burns down, melts into nothingness. Mm.
Does he even kill Destroyer in it?
No, actually. It's one of the only films where the army is actually semi-competent enough to destroy. Granted, this is after he's been beaten to pulp, because in this film he kills Godzilla's son.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla, acting very vengeful, knowing that he's like moments from death, just goes all out on Destroyer. Yeah. But then when he goes into meltdown, like the army takes care of Destroyer, and then they blast Godzilla with cooling weapons so that it doesn't actually destroy the planet.
It's kind of like the cooling down a reactor.
Yeah,
kind of
but that nuclear energy that he emitted was enough to revive baby Godzilla, who now grows into a full adult form.
Wow.
Which they kind of set off as like, if they ever wanted to do the sequel,
it would be him,
Godzilla's son's out there. And yeah, that was the end of the Heisei era for, that was the end of the Heisei era, and it's meant to be the end of Godzilla for a very long time. And then a little company called TriStar, for I know. Those Godzilla films are really popular.
They're good, aren't they?
They're about destruction. Who have we got that does
Jurassic Park did well.
Who have we got that likes destruction? What's that guy that did Independence Day? Roland Emmerich. Yeah, we're going to have him do it. Now, to be honest, we all take the mick out of this film. I'm going to be honest here. That was actually the first Godzilla film that I ever watched.
First one for me as well.
Because it realistically, for a lot of people in the West, that film was advertised way more than anything from Toho.
I used to argue with my friends coming out of the cinema. I remember my friends were like, well, Jurassic Park was bad. I was like, yeah, but Godzilla could eat everybody in Jurassic Park. He would just like destroy everybody.
Yeah, in this film, the director just didn't understand the point of Godzilla. And he wanted to show off all the destruction, but he also wanted like the King Kong element of having a sympathetic creature.
Yeah. Well, didn't he crawl up the Empire State Building as well?
I believe so, yeah. And he also wanted to pawn off the success of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And the whole film just comes out as a bit dumb. If you watch a Godzilla film, you'll be annoyed at this one, because like Godzilla is killed in the end of it by bullets. You know, it's been a part of Godzilla lore since the first film that Godzilla cannot be killed by conventional weaponry. It's not respectful to the source material. It's in the same way as the comic book movies of the early 2000s just would have nothing to do with the actual comic book they were based on.
True.
Yeah, and what a lot of people say is, and what Toho eventually ended up doing, is they just call the monster in that film Zilla, because it took the god out of the name.
Yeah, I'll
and
give
then
it, yeah.
Toho, after, actually legally renamed that monster as Zilla.
Really?
So when that monster has reappeared in like Godzilla comic books later, it's always referred to as Zilla, because it's lost the name God.
Doesn't, so I believe the next era you're going to talk about finishes off with Final Wars.
Yeah.
Doesn't Godzilla kill Zilla?
Yeah, Final Wars is they try and do what they did with Destroyer Monsters and bring in as many foes as they can. And yeah,
they got aliens in again as well.
Aliens take control of all of Earth monsters, and Godzilla has to defeat them all one by one. And yeah, one of the monsters they take control of is Zilla. So yeah, the TriStar Godzilla film does actually take place in the continuity of some of the Toho films, and it is the shortest fight in the film. It lasts 8 seconds.
Well, I guess that shows exactly how they feel about that film, doesn't it?
That's part of the Millennium series. I won't focus too much on the Millennium series, but basically after they saw that the Americans did a poor job at making the Godzilla film, but it made a lot of money, they were like, you know what, we'll bring him back. And I'll say, like, if the first one was very, like, the first series, the Showa series, was very campy.
Yeah.
Heisei was very kind of edgy. This one, I'm going to say, is actually, like, more anime inspired.
Okay.
This is when they start introducing, like, a CGI Godzilla.
Mm.
And in this one, Godzilla is overpowered as hell.
Really?
Like, this is when, like, they shoot a black hole at him and he survives.
Wow, really?
This is when he is able to shoot an asteroid that was going to destroy the planet out of space with his atomic beam.
Hmm.
And like, it's fine, you know, this is the overpowered Godzilla. And also a thing that they do in the Millennium series is they didn't want to have the films as connected as they were in the Heisei, which were quite solid sequels to each other. Showa was they were like the Michael Keaton Batmans. They weren't really asked about continuity. Heisei followed quite closely with continuity, but the Millennium was more just asked in making individual good films. So when they kicked it off, they started with Godzilla 2000 and just did it as a straight up sequel to the original, in the same way they did with Return of Godzilla. And then when that one sequel came out, I said, Godzilla 2000, ignore it, this is a sequel to the first one. And then with the next one, this is a sequel to the only films that share continuity is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, Godzilla against Mechagodzilla. There is a difference. Those are two different films.
Don't confuse them.
which is the one we discussed briefly before the podcast, and this is the skeletons of the original Godzilla is now got like a mecha morph suit built onto it to fight the new Godzilla, but then it gets possessed by the spirit of the original Godzilla and like equally starts destroying Tokyo, and then Mothra comes in the sequel. She isn't happy with the way the bones are being used. Actually, one of the only few times that the original Godzilla has come back. In nearly all continuities, it's the original. It's like a if one as opposed to the original.
The original Godzilla, like, because you see the Godzilla's bones, I think, in the original film when he's killed.
Although there is a slight in Return of Godzilla, just the American version, there's a line they gave Steve Martin where they said, well, they never did find the corpse.
Ah, okay.
So I think the indication is from the American dubs, at least, it could be the same Godzilla.
Yeah.
But even then, it's a bit up in the air.
I like there's a lot of kind of mystery about him, though. I like that there's not really a...
Oh, yeah, definitely. In the same way of the Joker, like, they've given him multiple different backstories. You know, in the first one, we didn't really know where he came from. Yeah. The second one, he was a mutated Godzilla-saurus. Yeah. There was a film in the Millennium series called GMK, which, again, completely unrelated to the other films. Mm. And in this, Godzilla is the physical manifestation of the tortured souls from World War II.
Mm.
Come to wreak his revenge on Japan.
Right.
And in this, it's Mothra, Ghidorah, and Baragon, a monster from Frankenstein Conquers the World. They take on the roles of the guardian monsters of Earth.
Okay.
Which is weird, seeing Ghidorah, you know, it's like the Joker of Godzilla.
Yeah, pretty much.
Main enemy.
The arch-villain.
Yeah. It's weird seeing him take on a more...
heroic role.
Yeah. In that one, he's like a spirit. They constantly redo his backstory.
Would you say Godzilla has... Do you see him rather as a hero? Do you see him more of as a villain?
Good question, honestly, because he does regularly flip so much between them. In the Showa era, he was just flat out a hero. In the Heisei era, he was a anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
In the Millennium, it's too inconsistent to actually say. I'd say in the new legendary universe that they're doing.
Yeah.
He is definitely a hero. I personally quite like the portrayal of him as the destroyer of worlds.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the original, he's come to wreak havoc.
Yeah.
If there's another monster...
He's a natural disaster, a walking natural disaster.
Yeah, if there's another monster in his way, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's also going to suffer.
Yeah.
But he's by no end means working on behalf of humanity.
How would you describe Godzilla's kind of personality? How do you see him? Is he like a grouchy uncle or...
Honestly describe... Ryan was very like Jason Voorhees in that if he wants to kill you, he's going to kill you. Yeah. If there's a city in the way, don't matter. You know, he'll go straight through it.
Like an absolute internet troll or something. He's just going to absolutely obliterate you.
Yeah, he is ruthless is the best way that I could describe him.
I agree, I see him in that sort of vein. I think it's kind of like, I think there's a line in the Incredible Edward Norton Incredible Hulk, he's like, I can't control him, but I can direct him.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with kind of Godzilla, is that you direct Godzilla.
One of the good things about the series is because it's been around for so long and there's so much variety between the Showa, Heisei, Millennium era is there's a Godzilla film for everyone.
Hmm.
If your kids are like quite pussies and they just want to see and have a good time, Showa era's for them.
Yeah.
If you're kind of edgy in your teen years and you want something dark and brooding, then go for the Heisei era. Hmm. If you're into anime and the more over-the-top action, like superhero-based stuff, go for the Millennium era.
Okay.
Yeah, outside from that, there's only one last film made by Toho. It was the Reiwa era. This is Shin Godzilla. This was made after Godzilla 2014. And basically, in the exact same way as Godzilla 2000, after they realized that there's a market for it, they said, right, we'll do another one. Shin Godzilla is the only Godzilla film to actually ignore the events of the original.
Okay.
It's the only film that you can watch completely on its own. And I will say it's probably one of the best. Yeah, okay. It is... they completely redo his origin story where he is a single-celled organism designed that is that well-adapted that it can instantly adapt to any situation that it's given.
Okay.
So when this organism happens across nuclear waste, it evolves into something that can survive nuclear waste. And over the course of the film, he evolves into Godzilla. He starts off as kind of like a land shark.
Kind of a weird fish thing. Yeah. I was like, it was really bizarre when I watched it.
Mm.
It's one of the ones I have watched.
Yeah. Did you like Shin Godzilla?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Would you believe me if I told you it was all CGI and there was absolutely no...
Really?
There was no physical CGI Godzilla prop in there.
Wow. I wouldn't have said that. I thought there was some sort of practical effect.
It does. I will say it's by far, like, as far as just CGI go,
feels
it
real.
Looks better than Godzilla 2014.
Oh, easy.
So it had to be, like, hidden in shadow to actually look
but
good.
For me, that CG is top-notch, because I honestly thought, I said, it might not be a guy in a suit, but at least there's some sort of practical effects going on.
Yeah.
At the very least. The fact that you said that makes it even more amazing.
There was a animatronic, like, top half built for close-ups.
Yeah.
Didn't end up being used, though.
Really?
So if you look at the poster, though, that picture is of the animatronic one, but it wasn't actually used in the film. It is entirely CGI.
Wow. That's
which
amazing.
You cannot tell. This...
That weird... I'll be honest, I was kind of... I was laughing at the point, because, like you said, Godzilla evolves.
Yeah, he looks quite goofy.
He looks proper goofy. Like, he's like this weird kind of fish face, and he's flopping around online, and he's like... Meh.
But, oh my God. Like,
but when
he
becomes,
goes on and he takes
when he becomes
the form
Godzilla,
of Godzilla, and like, the city destruction scene's probably the best one in any Godzilla film that you're going to find.
No, it was. I enjoyed it. I can't think of, like, I can't remember it. That I watched it about a year or so ago, maybe longer, but I don't remember hating it.
It's very much done in the same spirit of the Gareth Edwards and the original one, in that they try to use actual things that are affecting them these days as a way to make the film.
Yeah,
because
more relevant.
Yeah, a very frequent point that they talk about in Shin Godzilla is it's almost to comedy level how incompetent the politicians are. Literally, they'll be in a boardroom meeting, everyone will be there and be like, oh, wait a minute, we can't talk about this. If this is an environmental issue, then no, we will have to reschedule. And it's literally like 2 days later, everyone just sits down in a slightly different room and says, right, this is an environmental meeting, now we can talk about this issue. And because of their own incompetence, that's what ends up letting Godzilla get so far into the mainland, getting so powerful.
Because they're too busy with the kind of political maneuvering of everything.
And it's very reflective of the really poor way that the tsunami was handled.
Yeah.
Apparently, it wasn't the tsunami that killed more people. It was the aftermath of that.
Yeah.
Of where they're just politicians.
The managing of that situation.
Yeah. That's more what did... what had the highest kill count, and that's what ended up being the inspiration behind this film. And I will say for that one, that it's like the only one of the entire series that could go on par with the original. Obviously, the original has the benefit of being the first one.
I mean, obviously, we're talking about Godzilla, and you love Godzilla, but is there any other kind of all the kind of... Because Toho have so many different monsters, so many different... Within that kind of catalogue, do you have another favourite other than Godzilla?
Yeah, Mothra is one of the few Godzilla kaiju that's actually been able to escape just being a Godzilla kaiju. She also had her own trilogy of films in the 80s, the Rebirth of Mothra series, where she actually fought off against her own version of King Ghidorah. This is Desa Ghidorah.
Okay.
And then also Cretaceous Ghidorah. I'd say Mothra's probably my favourite. Outside from that, if we're not just talking Toho, Gamera, made by a rival company, the Gamera trilogy, made in the Heisei era, is amazing. Some of the best kaiju-related films that you'll ever see. Gamera is amazing, and on the off chance that anyone from Toho is listening to this, please just do Godzilla vs. Gamera. We've earned it.
I mean, if they could get the rights for Kong and Godzilla,
the makers of Gamera have wanted to do Godzilla versus Gamera, but Toho are a bit iffy about it.
Right, that'd be interesting though. I'd sign up for that. I mean, I don't know much about Gamera. I'm not that familiar with the Gamera film series, but I know that kind of they're the Marvel and DC of kind of Godzilla, well, kaiju anyway. But yeah.
That's the overall kind of, it's the Showa era, which is very lighthearted and fun. It's the Heisei era, which is dark and brooding. The Millennium era, which is more action-oriented. Yeah. You know, it's more superhero, more action movie. The Reiwa series is literally just...
One movie.
Yeah, it's literally just Shin Godzilla. So far, after they finish doing what they want to do in the Legendary universe, which is the fifth universe, after they finish doing that, they're going to start doing stuff in the Reiwa universe again.
Nice.
Yeah, and then there's also the Legendary universe, which is, as of right now, it's just Godzilla 2014, Kong Skull Island, and tomorrow's release. Well, it might be tomorrow, I don't know when you're putting this up.
whenever it's released. Very soon, very shortly.
And Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yeah, and Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
You know, those of the four. I've seen a handful of these films. So I've seen the 1954,
yeah,
so Godzilla, or Godzilla, King of the Monsters. I've seen the remake, the American remake, 1998.
Yeah.
I've seen Godzilla vs. Destroyer. Recently watched Ghidorah, the Three-Headed Monsters. Shin Godzilla.
You've been able to somehow watch my personal favourite podcast.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
Doing very well.
Doing very well. Shin Godzilla, and I watched Godzilla 2014, and I watched the anime trilogy that's currently available on Netflix.
Yeah, the anime trilogy is the sixth series that no one really likes to talk about.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't have a problem with it. I think
I personally really liked it for what it was, which was a very character-driven tale. But you can make a Godzilla anime. Why would you make it human-based?
Yeah, true.
You know, why just have Godzilla as the main character in that. You know,
you can hear his thoughts or something like that.
But I think it's kind of the Star Wars prequels in that, give it a few years, people will, once the films are harmless, people will them a bit more.
I mean, again, I'm not a hardcore Godzilla fan. The ones I have seen, I've enjoyed, but I'm not like, this is how Godzilla must be. I'm disappointed they've done it. You know, I enjoyed it as an anime. I enjoyed it as a Godzilla related thing. I enjoyed Godzilla fighting. You know, Ghidorah's in there, Mechagodzilla technically, and like there's a baby Godzilla in it as well. Yeah, technically,
Mothra technically.
You know, Mothra's technically makes an appearance, and a few others. Kind of, I think there's corpses or something. But you know, I enjoyed it. It's very intense. It's very, a lot of shouting, but that kind of is just anime.
It is just an Elseworlds story.
Yeah.
Of Godzilla.
Exactly. It's another interpretation. If you've never seen anything Godzilla, or if you've...
I wouldn't recommend it if you haven't seen it. No. Like, if this is your first exposure to...
No.
And, like, if you're not...
If it's your first exposure to anime as well, I probably wouldn't go there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you want to know about the Godzilla universe, not just Godzilla himself, I wouldn't put this down as, like, my recommended viewing.
No.
And now I'll come back to what is my recommended view.
Here we go. So
running quite low on time.
It's all right. We've still got about 20 minutes or so. So is this list just for new people, or is this for people that are going to see the new movie? How do you want to kind of craft it?
I put this as my list as a beginner's perspective. If I have a friend that came over to me and said, this new film looked really good, or say even after the film, like, hey, I really enjoyed that film, how do I get started in this new series? These are the ones I would probably recommend them.
Okay.
Automatically, I'm going to disqualify Godzilla 2014 and the new Godzilla King of the Monsters, just because you've probably already seen them.
You've probably seen them, yeah. And if you've seen King of the Monsters, why did you not watch the one before?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So fair enough.
Yeah. Obviously, the main one is Godzilla. It's the one that you have to recommend because it's the one that started it all. I will say that it will probably be more difficult for today's audiences to get into, because unlike a lot of people, I'm not salty about older media not being accessible.
Yeah.
Dracula with Bela Lugosi is an amazing film, but when my girlfriend, who watches modern day normal TV, watched it, she fell asleep, and I do not blame her for it.
Yeah, I watched Nosferatu, and I watched that as well.
I'm terrified of Nosferatu.
I did a play when I was having to do a version of Nosferatu. We did Midsummer Night's Dream, and
Has Midsummer Night's Dream got Nosferatu in it?
No, it doesn't. But he wanted to kind of do a universal monster. The director wanted to do a Universal Monsters take on it, even though Nosferatu isn't necessarily a Universal Monsters, but he wanted my voice to be like Bela Lugosi, he wanted my physicality and look to be like Nosferatu. So I had to kind of do that research. And they are not fast-paced films. Like, they're very short, but they're not fast-paced films. So
yeah, I will put it down to just like overexposure to things like action or gore these days. You know,
fast, isn't it? It's all instant gratification. Now, like, if you go back and watch those, it's not instant gratification.
Yeah, back when those films were made, like, you either saw these films in the cinema or you didn't see films.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of families didn't even have a television at this point.
Exactly.
So they don't age well. I mean, film fans will respect them. You know, they get the respect they deserve.
Very early on as well in filmmaking, really, if you think about it.
Yeah,
Very early days, very early doors in regards to that. So what were the films? We've gone off track, but tell me, what were the films?
Yeah, the first one I would recommend is Godzilla. It is very specialist, but I would say just soldier through it. Soldier through it, watch it. Whether you watch the Godzilla or Godzilla King the Monsters English version is irrelevant. Frankly, I would say probably go for the Godzilla one, because at least then there's English-speaking people. You know, the plot's a bit dumbed down. You can sail through it a bit easier. Hmm. Other than that, the other four, I don't know if I'm giving these in a particular order. I'm going to try not to.
Yeah.
I would recommend Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster, just because it's a perfect showing off of the Showa era, where it's like, it's silly, but it's not as silly as it gets.
No, it's there was the silly moments, but it could be sillier.
Yeah. It's the first time that Ghidorah is on screen at all. You know, this is also Ghidorah's origin movie. Mm. It's the first time you see Godzilla fight Rodan. Mothra's in it, being over, left over from Godzilla versus Mothra, but you can watch Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster without having seen Godzilla versus Mothra.
I watched it yesterday or night before, and they do kind of explain it a little bit.
Yes. So if you're only going to watch one Toho movie and you want to see these characters again, I'd say Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster is probably the best bet.
Yeah, I think so. So is that two? You've done two so far?
Yeah, that's two.
We'll do a top five, I think.
I would then go for Godzilla versus Destroyer, because it ties in perfectly to the original. Destroyer is one of, if not the most powerful Godzilla villain, and you see Godzilla die. You know, it's like the only actual ending this character has had. You know, even in Shin Godzilla, they only put him to sleep. He doesn't actually die.
Yeah.
You know, the Toho Godzilla rarely dies. Is that the only two times he's died?
Okay.
Might be, actually, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's the original and in this film, then. Mm. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Godzilla vs. Destroyer is worth a watch. It was also, actually, the first Toho Godzilla film that I saw.
Yeah.
So, definitely recommended viewing for that one. If you wanna watch a Godzilla film that is far enough along in the effects that you can look at it.
Yeah, you can appreciate it.
Yeah, like, it's... Obviously, it is still a guy in a suit, but that isn't your immediate thought when you're watching it.
No, fair enough. So, that's three. What's your last two?
Shin Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Shin Godzilla, because it's the only one that you can watch like outside from any continuity. You don't need to understand anything about Godzilla. You go into this is your first film, can understand it perfectly, and for recurring fans of it, it is also one of the best. You know, it's political, it's funny, it's dramatic, it's the effects in it are the best from any Godzilla film. Still yet to be surpassed. Because, you know, I love the legendary films, but they're kind of falling into, well, we're going to show the monster, but it'll be in dark in the room.
Yeah.
Purely just so the CGI looks better, but I want to see them fighting in the day. Godzilla in the daytime.
I mean, we did see a little bit. Did we see a little bit in the Gareth Edwards one during the day, or
not? He wakes up at the end and goes into the ocean. That's all that you see him during the day. But the majority of the Showa era takes place during the day.
Yeah.
Purely because it was cheap to film in a countryside.
Exactly. No, I think you're right. I think we do have a tendency to have, you know, characters dressed in black fighting in black alleyways as well.
You know, what's Alien versus Predator Requiem, where you just flat out, I mean, it's an awful film anyway, but you actually can't see what's going on.
You can't see anything, it's dreadful.
That was a complaint with, the two main complaints with the Gareth Edwards one were that Godzilla wasn't in it enough, and even when he was in it, it was that dark that you can't see.
Yeah.
Both of them have been addressed, and actually one of the early Rotten Tomato reviews of Kingdom Monsters says, well, I think we're just focusing too much on the kaiju action and not enough on the human interaction. I'm like, I see this as an absolute win.
fair enough. I mean, I think the human element is important to have. It's very it's an important thing to have, but again, you don't want either thing to overshadow one or the other. You want to have relatable characters, but then you also want the monster action.
Yeah.
And you got one more.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Godzilla against Mechagodzilla.
Okay.
The one from the Legendary. Not Legendary. The one from the Millennium era.
Godzilla against Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
Just to clarify all the Mechagodzillas.
Yeah, it works as the another sequel from the original that ignores the ones before it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Godzilla's back. He's destroying shit, so they make a mecha suit over the armor of the original Godzilla.
Just like I mean, that's a great title for a Godzilla film. Godzilla destroys some shit. I think that's the next one.
Have you seen Godzilla versus Bambi? I'm not joking.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
I'll have to look that up.
Like a 2-minute short, Bambi comes into the woods and Godzilla steps in him and then the credits roll.
Standard.
Oh, Godzilla versus Charles Barkley.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's a handful of Godzilla parodies out there.
I imagine there is.
But yeah, that's my top five recommendations for newbies and also my personal favourites.
So let's go through that again, a quick rundown. So that was
Godzilla, 1954. Ghidorah, the three-headed monster. Godzilla versus Destroyer.
Yep.
Shin Godzilla. And then Godzilla against Mechagodzilla.
Mechagodzilla. So what's what do you think is so interesting about Mechagodzilla?
Well, Mechagodzilla is one of the main five, you know, the big five. You know, it is Godzilla,
kind of like DC's Ghidorah. Kind of holy trinity. You know, yeah. Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman.
Yeah, Mechagodzilla is the last one, and this is by far the best Mechagodzilla film. Mm. My personal favorite is probably Terror of Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
Which is a Showa one, which is Showa, of course. Yeah. It's a bit trappy, you know.
Weird, yeah. Yeah, this one's a bit more accessible.
Yeah, and plus I really like the idea of the kind of crossover between the spiritual and the technological there, because that's kind of something that it wouldn't be that far stretched.
No. You know?
If you're making a mecha outfit over the skeleton of this creature, to say, you know, possession is not that, it's not that far.
I mean,
it's gone, you know.
Let's be honest, it's weird enough that you're building a robot around the dead bones of an animal.
Yeah.
You know, I think the possession thing's kind of, you know, that's kind of like, yeah, why not? You know?
Yeah.
I think this, what you're saying about the kind of linking the mythical, I think that's what they're trying to do with the new one, with King of the Monsters, is that they are these kind of mythical creatures that have come back.
I will say it's bugging me that they're not calling them kaiju. I think it's because they're trying to differentiate themselves from Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
And they're calling them titans instead. Yeah. I guess that. I mean, I
don't know. It works. I mean, they could have used a load of other terms. They could have created a term. They could have still called them mutos, couldn't they, if they wanted.
Massive unidentified terrestrial organism.
Because they even use that in Skull Island. They even say that in Skull Island. That's what we do. Monarch does. So yeah, there's a possibility. I mean, I'm very excited. I'm glad they finally got the rights to the other classic monsters.
Oh, I have been waiting for this film so long.
I think it's going to be absolute fan service.
This is why I'm looking forward to this film. And I'm going to relate it back to Jurassic Park. I was a Jurassic Park fan since I was a kid. I never left the dinosaur face, as I say. I went through high school and college loving Jurassic Park. And I was always kind of never looked down on, but I was always be the dinosaur kid. Oh. Even as an adult, I was always the dinosaur one.
Yeah.
And then Jurassic World came out and suddenly dinosaurs were relevant again. And it almost felt as if I'd just suddenly been validated, like I'd just had the justification all these years for liking. in the same way, I imagine you feel the same with the MCU.
Exactly right. I said, oh, one day, you know, I'd love to see an Avengers film. People are like, that'll never happen. You're bloody...
Now superheroes are cool. Dinosaurs are cool. And hopefully, kaiju will also be.
Godzilla is cool.
You know, I can't wait. You know, I mean, I know Mothra, Ghidorah, Rodan. I know all these characters since I was a kid.
Yeah.
No one else. I can't wait for the day where I can walk in Asda and see King Ghidorah merch. And that is a life I never pictured myself living.
I even didn't realize Rodan was in it because I totally. I don't know if that's unfair to Rodan, but I knew Mothra, I knew Ghidorah, I knew Godzilla. I didn't consider Rodan like one of the originators, one of the big five, as you called them. And then I saw he was in it. I was like, oh shit, there's loads of it.
Even, like, ultimately, I hope the film is good, but even if it isn't, what it's going to do for the kind of community, the exposure that it's going to give the Godzilla fans will be enough.
I always think when a remake comes out, in a way, there's no way it's a bad thing. So either we get a good remake, amazing, brilliant film, fantastic, references the original, brilliant, lovely, great. Or it's dog shit and you go back and go, oh, that one's so much better, I'm going to watch that.
It still makes you appreciate it's still a win. Original.
I see that as an absolute win.
Yeah, I mean, same with bloody Avatar Last Airbender, one of the best TV shows of all time. Mm. The film came out about it, and it was shit, but it just made us realise how good the TV show was.
Yeah, it makes you appreciate it. So I don't see it as necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you can just forget that even exists, and that's what a lot of people do. Do you have, like, there's so many, we're talking like 33 possible films, I think we're talking about. or maybe more.
If you count all of the, if you count the TriStar ones, and then if you count the anime ones, it's like
even if you count like the single solo films like Rodan and Mothra, if you count those technically within the Monsterverse, then you're looking at more like
40, 50 films.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but heck, Zone Fighter, which was a TV show, had Godzilla star in it, so it technically took place in the Showa era.
There you go, and that's the thing. Because there's so much of that. Like, what do they need to get absolutely right for this one? Like, obviously, there's so many different, you know, I don't know if there's like one great Godzilla film. I think maybe there's so many different kind of parts of other ones that you could combine to make a great Godzilla film. What does this film need to get right?
I'd say fix the mistakes from the last film, which is just let us see the monsters more and then actually let us be able to see the monsters.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as being a Godzilla fan goes, I just want to enjoy myself. Do the characters justice. Like, you don't have to, like, obviously, I want to see them all done in their own good light. But there's only so much you can go with that in one film.
Yeah.
So that, bearing in mind, just give each of them the respect that, you know, if Rodan shows up and they've used him all over the advertising, but then he dies in his first fight, that would be annoying. But that would be annoying to an average cinema goer.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, so long as this film is a good film and they don't do anything that would, like, specifically, you know, like, if they don't, like, kill off anyone too early or
anything. Well, I mean, we might not necessarily see killing off. We might just see a defeat, like, they've been knocked out or something like that. So there's a possibility where they don't have to kill anybody, necessarily. But again, Godzilla has enough monsters to keep him going, like we've said.
Yeah, I think their Toho is, right now, the contract only goes up to Godzilla versus Kong, but it will be depending on how well those two films perform, and then the Monsterverse, the legendary Monsterverse could continue after that. And they've got a plethora of different creatures that they could bring in if they wanted to.
They could do a Mothra film. You know, they could combine or not have, or they can cherry pick after that point, I think.
Yeah, it could, like, I'm not being funny, people will get bored of superheroes eventually.
Oh, yeah, of course they will.
Like, what's going to replace them?
Yeah, true.
Will it be kaiju? Will it be, like, live-action versions of anime?
Yeah,
you know, something's going to take over afterwards.
And I think that's right. Like, I love superheroes, and, I think they'll continue to make them. I don't think they'll just completely disappear.
Yeah.
There might be less of them. They might make less money. But, you know, they're in their heyday now, and I'm enjoying that.
I think we can both proudly say that we are living in, like, the absolute golden era of our... Literally the wording I was going to use. We couldn't be in a better position now. Like, this is what 80 years from now, in the same way that we look back at the Universal Monsters and be like, God, what a great time to be alive.
Well, exactly. Like, you've got everything you read or enjoyed as a kid is being rebirthed.
Served to you. Even if silver platter.
Yeah, exactly. Even if you didn't, you know, like you said, you're not a massive fan of the Ghostbusters film. Neither was I. The female reboot. And it wasn't because they're all women. It was just because it was a shit film. You know, it's at least they're trying. Or at least they're trying to kind of... Nostalgia's a big thing. It's a big kicker for people to... And saves on marketing as well, saves, because that's you spend millions on marketing for movies, and if they don't have to spend that much on marketing, it's a win. I'm gonna ask one last question before we go. Like I was saying, this is gonna be quite a tough question, really.
Okay.
What is your favorite of all the kind of Godzilla related media? What is your favorite fight? What's your favorite battle?
Ooh, that is,
and that we can I will include Godzilla versus Tokyo in that.
In that case, then it's probably going to be a pretty easy. I'll give you two answers then.
Okay, cool.
Because they both conflict with you. My favorite kind of fight scene is Godzilla's scene of destruction in Tokyo from Shin Godzilla.
Shin Godzilla, yeah.
You know, for those that don't want to watch it, you know, they do some very weird stuff with Godzilla's powers that we've never seen before, which, if you're going in watching it for the first time, will blow your mind. It did for me. I actually went like, holy shit, when I saw that for the first time. And he just, like, the shots. I think there's one shot where it's slowly zooming in on Godzilla.
Mm.
And he's like, his tail's like wagging back and forth behind him. And he's just surrounded by flame and smoke. Gorgeous stuff. That's probably my favorite destruction scene. Mm. It's the scene that I'd recommend. If we were going to go purely off of fight, however, would probably be from Terror of Mechagodzilla, a Showa film. And it's specifically because Terror of Mechagodzilla follows quite closely from Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla, not to be confused with Godzilla against Mechagodzilla. In Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla, Godzilla eventually defeats Mechagodzilla by twisting his head off and pulling it off. And now in Terror of Mechagodzilla, he does that exact same thing. He pulls off the head, but he's still functioning. He's and it surprises the hell out of everyone. He's got like a little control panel where his head would be, and he's still able.
Still going.
Yeah, Godzilla tries to use the same move on him as he did in the last one. It doesn't work, and then he just kicks the shit out of him.
Nice. Well, I think we'll leave it there for the day. Thank you very much for coming. It's
absolutely
been really informative. I hope a lot of people got a lot out of that, and they can find all the Godzilla-related media. If you want to read a really cool Godzilla comic, I would recommend Godzilla Half Century War, which follows a Japanese soldier through 50 years of fighting Godzilla, and it kind of goes through the whole, it's kind of a greatest hit, so to speak. You see all the monsters throughout the history of all the eras that you've been talking about in one comic. So I highly recommend that as well. But yeah, no, it's been great. And you can find me on Facebook at Secret Boars. On Twitter, you can find us at Dan_Boars, and this podcast is available on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, and many, many more. Thanks again, Curtis. You've been an amazing guest. You've been the god of Godzilla.
Mate, it's been awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. You can get me on, mainly just on Instagram, at MizRoBastard. Thank you so much for having me on, and I'll be back on for King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah! Bye-bye, guys!